Here we go. Round and round we go. Where it stops, nobody knows, but you know where it stops? Wednesday nights, right here on the glorified version of a bass fishing talk show. I'm your host, Pat Renwick. Hello, Bass Galaxy. How are you tonight? How you doing? How is everybody? How are we? Yes, we're pumped up. We are pumped up again because it's not only Wednesday night, but what we have in store for you tonight could just be the finest ensemble of bass and badasses ever in the history of bass fishing talk shows.
Yeah.
And Bass Fishing Galaxy, please hold your applause until the end. All simultaneously at the same time, that means coming on together, we have Greg Hackney, Jason Christie, and the legend Denny Brower. Yeah, that's right, Bass Galaxy. Yes. Bass Fishing Galaxy. We have assembled the finest of shallow water marauders in the business. You know what I mean? I mean, these guys are the deal, and we want to see what makes them tick. What the deal is. Why shallow water? And they've done quite well in their careers in shallow water, if I must say so myself. If I must say so. Hey, I want to say right out of the gate, happy Veterans Day. Happy Veterans Day, and give it up for all of you veterans out there. Thank you for your service. Your service means our freedom. What you have done and what you have sacrificed and what you continue to do. Thank you. Thank you so much. I believe that our forces, our service, men and women, are our leaders.
Yeah.
Those are our leaders.
Absolutely.
Those are my leaders in this country. No cabe duda, as they say in Ireland. I also want to thank everyone so much for the birthday wishes. I had a great birthday, unbelievable, overwhelming amount of wishes. I really felt the love. That's all I can say is thank you so much for the love there being felt. And speaking of love, there's a big derb going on right now over on Lake Hartwell. And that's the FLW BFL, the All-American. And it's brought to you by TH Marine. Yes. Yes, by TH Marine and
Tin Cup Whiskey.
That's right, Tin Cup Whiskey.
Nice.
Our guys. Tin Cup. That's how we say it in Chicago. Our guys over at the Tin Cup.
Over at the Dim Cup.
You know who's a Southsider from over by there? Ryan Popcorn, Leviticus Numbers, Cornelius Whitaker.
Ain't it?
He plays drums, ain't it? Welp.
Ain't it?
Welp. Welp. Welp, right? Welp.
I went region on
Oop.
You there.
Oop.
With the ain't it. Oop. I got to pull this down.
Oop. Ain't it? No. Well, no, ain't it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, ain't it?
Ryan, the tin cup whiskey drinking game takes place every Wednesday here on Stray Cast Outdoor Cartoon Television, the glorified version of a bass fishing talk show.
Yes, sir.
And what that is, in a nutshell, this is you in a nutshell. Get me out of this nutshell.
I'm in this nutshell.
You're in this nutshell. But the deal with the Tin Cup Whiskey drinking game is that when we say, or our guest says, or anyone says a particular word, that you take a drink. It could be a drink of any beverage. It can be a spicy latte, or it can be eggnog. Do you ever drink eggnog?
Eggnog, yes.
It could be eggnog,
yes.
Or hot chocolate.
Yes.
You could be any of that, or Tin Cup Whiskey. Whatever it is, we ask that you drink responsibly. And Ryan Popcornelius Whitaker.
Yes, sir.
What is the Tin Cup drinking word of the day?
We're going to go with flip or flipping.
Oh, flippity-doo-dah, flippity-day.
It suits the guests.
I think these guys are all flipping nuts, and I think there's a good chance that someone will say flip.
Yes.
Throughout the the entire deal. So that worked out pretty well.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so the tin cup drinking word of the eve is flip. Flip. So again, remind you to please drink responsibly in playing this game. Hey, the Bass Nation Championship going on right now on Pickwick. And good luck to all those guys out there. Good yeah. luck to them. Hey, congratulations, Patty Walters. Pat Walters on the Tejas Fest. Wow.
Whitewashing.
Wow. Talking about a yeah. Yeah. He smacked the backside, didn't he?
Unreal.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Pat's coming on next week. Pat will be here on awesome. The show with Christine Fisher and Luke Foley from Tin Cup Whiskey.
He's got a fresh new belt.
Yeah, yeah. He sure does, man, in a unique way. So congratulations to Pat. Hey, I want to remind everybody that the best place in the Bass Fishing Galaxy to win free stuff on a Wednesday night is Stray Cast. In fact, it's the best bass fishing talk show that's on at 7 p.m. Central. On a Wednesday night where you can win free stuff.
Yeah, it's the best bass fishing talk show on right now.
Yeah, that's on yes. right now yeah. In my mom's basement.
Right.
Yes, exactly. Yes, Mom, we're going to give away stuff. So. All right, she's just making sure that we're going to give everything away tonight. And tonight, our prizes are compliments of War Eagle spinner baits.
Mm.
Ooh. How apropos, we got a bunch of shallow water guys on. We're going to give away $50 worth of War Eagle spinnerbaits. All you got to do is like and share the live Facebook feed. Like and share the live Facebook feed. Take it off of private, and you got the opportunity to win $50 worth of War Eagle spinnerbaits. I think it's like a gift thing to Pradco. So you could probably get some Jason Christie stuff while yep. you're in there. You know, yep. some of them, those coverts. Uh-huh. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Hey, you know who's a mystery to me as of late? My friend, the hip-hop fisherman, J.P. High. J.P. High, I'm glad you're here this evening. Into the humble abode of the Stray Cast Outdoor Cartoon Television Studios.
What's up?
Nothing. Last I heard, you were sick, and now you're here, and I'm happy that you're here and you're alive. And what else is a mystery, JP, is this deal right here. This deal right here. And what is that, JP? What is that for the people at it's home that can't... Oh, I got... Yeah, I can't put my address up on the camera. Hi, stalkers. The... So,
it's a mystery tackle
that's
box.
That's a gosh dude. Dang mystery tackle box, man. That's what we're right yeah. doing. I got two of them right here, mystery tackle boxes, and we're going to open them live. Esta noche. This evening, we're going to open them live, JP. And what do you think we should do with these mystery tackle boxes when we're done with them?
Just give them to me.
Besides that, Minnie the Mucha, let me tell you a story about J.P. the Mucha. It's always Marsha, J.P. J.P., what should we do with these?
Yeah.
What should we do with them?
Give them away.
Let's give them away. Okay, yeah. So one of these we're going to give to a kid, to a local kid, and we'll let you guys figure that stuff out here. But the other one... Let's do another like and share. Let's do another like and share contest. What do you think?
Yep.
For a mystery tackle box, that's right. Mystery tackle box. Jake Haas, our intern in New Jersey, is handling the chat board tonight as Stray Cass. And he's going to make sure that somebody gets this here mystery tackle box sent to their house courtesy of the Catch Coast and the mystery tackle boxes and to Carl, our bud Carl. All right. Speaking of spots, you know who has all kinds of kick butt spots? Like, if I just need to say, hey, man, like, where should I go throw? There's a redheaded guy I know who lives in Hobart, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
He's an engineer and he's a producer.
I know that dude.
Yeah, he's a punk rock guy. And his dad has the most kick-ass guitar collection on the planet. Give it up for Andrew Ellenberger. He is a ginger ninja. He's red on the head like a producer should be. That is right. Andy. Half a Spot Official is the newest, hippest, craziest, wackiest, wildest new app to find spots to go bass fishing, isn't it?
Correct.
And one of the other things that they have at halfaspotofficial.com is online derbs, right?
100, yes.
Online derbs. What's the tin cup word of the week?
Flip.
Flip. They even have flip derbs.
That's three.
Andy, I know that you like to noodle online. And what is something that you have noticed about Half a Spot that makes it, let's just call it, unique and above something else you might see on some other spot apps?
Well, it's refreshing to get away from political and other crap.
Oh.
And it's all outdoors, fishing. It's a great community.
So you're referring to the actual app on the phone?
Yes.
The Half a Spot Official app.
You want to see fish and wildlife.
It's
and
nothing. Right now, dude, the rut is on. If you want to see some buck porn, you know what I mean?
Go
there. And that's the deal.
Free your mind for a little while.
That's
the best thing right now.
Half a Spot Official, download it on the Android app and on your iPhone. And boom, chock, boom, 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 chaka-laka-laka. Like Big Diamond Dave would say, right?
Is that buck porn anything like two buck porn?
No, it's
I like
it's,
that one.
No, it's like Buck. It's like what's his name? Joe Buck.
Not the
announcer, but the bass player for Hank 3.
Not dollars. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It's Joe Buck.
Cool.
Joe Buck. You know what I'm saying about it. His worn out boots are taking him downtown.
Like John Voight. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Fighter said to say. What's up?
Hey, Mr. Fighter, I have my lucky rock, and I just, in fact, so it's, as long as we're doing this, I just got to show Mr. Fighter that this rock actually comes, I'm stopping the whole damn show for this, just so we know. I don't care, cool. Andy, what you, Andy's saying, don't do it, but I'm doing it. You know what? Here it is, Mr. Fighter. I'm telling you, man, turned my life around with this dang rock. It's been lucky as heck to me.
Where's that from?
Lucky AF. It's from Mr. Fighter.
Yeah, but where's it from?
It's from some ancient Indian Aztec burial ground up in the sky.
The Mystic Waters.
Yeah, I don't know where he went. Somewhere in Minnesota, and he killed Yetis, and he got this rock for me, and my life has been amazing ever since Mr. Fighter gave me this rock. So, anyway, is that enough? Did I get everything? Do you guys want to do a bass fishing talk show? You want to get Greg Hackney, Jason Christie, and the legend Denny Brower together right here on this bass fishing talk show?
Let's get the flippers.
After we put the power poles down and we don't go anywhere, and then we come right back after a word from our sponsors.
Flip this mat for a while.
Ain't it?
Yeah. I'm going to go flip this right here. Oh, geez, you did it again, Andy. Put the power poles down. I'm Pat Remwick. I'm coming back with some icons of shallow water when we return.
Nobody wants to run out of power when they're on the water. There is a better way. Introducing the Charge Marine Power Management Station from PowerPole that does the work of three devices, a traditional battery charger, a charge on the run, and an emergency start system, PowerPole Charge.
The all-new XF Series by Crestliner. Simplistic perfection with performance features built on a platform for success. The amazingly affordable XF Series by Crestliner. A brand new way to reel in bass. For more information and to find your local dealer, visit Crestliner.com today. The Crestliner Real Deal Sales Event. The best time to buy is now at Crestliner.com. Save up to $3,000 today.
Hey, it's Carl, and I've got some big plans this fishing season. I'm hoping to get in the best shape of my life to have some of the best fishing of my life. And I want you to join me for Carl's spring training. Let's get it. Let's get it. That's a fish. Let's get it.
The TH Marine HydroWave H2 KVD Edition is a surefire way to ignite a feeding frenzy. the HydroWave utilizes a sound-emitting technology that imitates baitfish and other feeding fish below the surface that preys on the competitive nature of bass and other game fish to get you more bites. The HydroWave is another way that TH Marine has you covered from transom to trolling motor.
This is the mountain, and this is Mountain Whiskey. Unspoiled, untamed, forever wild. There's no safety net, no way down. Up here, it's just man and the mountain and his tin cup. Tin Cup Whiskey. Mountain Whiskey.
Every once in a blue moon, I get together a bunch of badass bass and hombres in the same room. And you never know what's gonna happen in this shallow water world of bass fishing when you get these cats together. Bass Galaxy, please give it up right now for the legend Denny Brower, Jason Christie, and Greg Hackney right here on Stray Cast. Yes. Guys. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, Pat.
Hey. What's going on? I can't believe that we're all here together on this thin raft right now. Can you believe it?
I can't believe it.
Jason Christie can't believe it. He can't believe it. Guys, you're probably like, hey, why did Pat get us all here together tonight on the same show? And hey, Bass Galaxy, give it up right now for Denny Brower. We just got to say hello again, Denny Brower, right now. Greg and Jason, you believe this? It's Denny Brower.
I had to pinch myself.
This guy, Denny Brower. Oh my goodness, it's a big deal to us, man. Hey, I want to tell you guys. A couple weeks ago, we had Aaron on the show, and Aaron Martins, and Aaron said that that people that are different or special excel in life. Okay. Now, I feel that all three of you are different and special. In fact, you have excelled in the world and in the life of bass fishing. I mean, let's face it, you've done very well for yourselves fishing shallow. I mean, no doubt about it. There's no doubt about this whatsoever. I think you'll all agree with that. But you're all a little off. I mean, and I say that respectfully. I say that respectfully now. Hackney, why are you looking at me like that?
Well, you can stress special. Yeah. Because this is definitely a group of special people.
Okay. All right.
Like, this group takes special to another level.
I agree with that. And you have excelled at it. You have excelled at it. So, for example, I'll start with you, Mr. Hackney. One of your features that I feel is unique or special, or maybe one might call intimidating, is like, it's kind of like that eye kind of twitches at you. You know what I mean, Jason? You ever see when Hackney's eye kind of twitches? You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
See it. Whenever you see that, you know that he's found something special in the tournament for that week, which is every week for Hackney.
And then Denny, you ever notice when Hackney does that little, he looks at you and then he goes, and he kind of points and then he jacks him. You know what you've seen that, right, Denny?
You know he's going to jack him every time, so you just expect that look from him.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. That's like the hack look. Now, Denny, I know you've noticed this about Mr. Christie. Like, he don't say a lot. Christie don't say a lot, man. But, like, he'll look at you, and you can't tell with Jason Christie if he wants to beat the snot out of you or if he wants to shake your hand. Have you noticed that about him, Denny?
He'd make a great poker player, but you know he's going to go out there and catch him every time. So, you know, those guys got so much confidence in their ability. They don't have to put on airs. They just give you that look, and you go, uh-oh, here we go again.
Exactly. Hey, Hackney, think about this. You've seen Christie do this a zillion times. Who else throws a one-ounce spinnerbait on a frog rod with one hand like it's a pistol grip? Jason Christie. That's crazy.
Well, you know, it goes back to his special level. He's taken special to a whole nother level.
Now, Christie, get this, man. Like, how many times have you seen it where Denny Brower, he'll just kind of smile and then he'll laugh at you, you know, and then he'll just be like, yeah, or I'll say just one word. You've seen it, right, Christy?
Yeah, he, you know, it's funny with the two guys that you have on the show besides me. If there's two guys that, I mean, it's hard to intimidate me fishing, but if there's two guys that do, it's the two on the show. And what's funny is I was sitting here before we started the show, and I thought, I ought to turn the phone around to where all my deer heads are behind me. Maybe that's something that I got. And then I look at Denny and I don't need to turn my phone around.
Yeah. Denny has a whole museum back there. It's awesome, dude.
I thought he was doing the show from World of Wildlife.
So I got to ask you guys this. Now, I kind of gave you some of my observations of you guys as professional bass fishing badasses, and I need to know your observations of each other. So Jason, I ask you, give me a trait of Denny Brower that might be, you stated he might be a little intimidating. What's an intimidating trait of Denny Brower?
I think the other two, Hackney is the same, is just not running their mouth. I mean, and I say that respectfully, I mean, they're just quiet and you don't know what they're thinking. I mean, you don't know if, like you said, if they want to grab you by the throat or if they want to shake you by the hand. And
well, that was you. I was talking about you.
Those two guys are the same way. And I grew up watching Denny, and I've been around him a good bit in the industry. Denny was getting out when I was getting in on the bass side of things. And I was thinking about in the deer stand, how many times have I replayed it? I don't even know what show it was where he rolls in with like a minute left and flips underneath the dock, catches a 5-pounder.
The mega bass. That was the mega buck. Mega bucks.
Yep.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Gunnersville.
Yeah. And whenever he caught that, I mean, he just looked at the camera, held the fish up, and didn't say a whole lot. And you just like, he's bad news.
Well, Andy, why are you laughing at me? Because I got all excited about that. Is that why you're laughing? Oh, yes.
The megabox.
It's the megabox. I'm right with you there. I'm right with you, Jason. I can see that fish jumping by the by the dock. See, I got the Buddha, but I'm saying words, Hackney. I don't even know what words I'm saying. But I could still see that fish jumping, Denny, by that dock. And people talk about Nixon's fish jump, and I still see that megabucks fish of yours, man.
Yeah, that was a very memorable fish. I think there's certain fish during your career that always stick out, and that's certainly one of them. And it was a pivotal part of my career, so that made it even more special.
So, hey, Hackney, I want to ask you about those two cats here. What's something that might intimidate you about these gentlemen?
So, think about this. One of these gentlemen's nickname is basically the world's most dangerous man. That would be Jason Christie. So you earn a name like the world's most dangerous man. You know what I mean? Like you earn that. So I've had the opportunity to spend a lot of time with Denny Brower. Some of it good, some of it bad. but it was all fun. But you know, that is the cool thing about Denny Grum. Like, Denny's always been one of my heroes, and then having the opportunity to compete against him, he is probably the most intimidating bass fisherman of all times. You know, like, Biffle would try to run you out of places by telling you you needed to leave, but Denny, on the other hand, would just give you that look. You know what I mean? Like, you got too close. Yeah. You could just feel it. Like, he had a halo around him that you don't get inside that halo.
You don't mess with that Brower aura.
He's got the aura. Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
but he's actually quite a comedian too. He knows what I'm talking about.
He's a corker. We call him corkers on the south side of Chicago.
Yeah, I think that fits.
I mean, like, and I think of you guys, and I think of certain baits, obviously. I think of kind of off a little bit. I'm sure everybody thinks of Denny Brower in a jig, but I think of a black buzz bait with you, Denny. I don't know why that pops in my head, like as a random thought. Black buzz bait. Here's a random thought about Jason Christie, and this random thought goes specifically to you, Greg Hackney. Like, did you ever see the Family Guy episode, Hack, where Peter Griffin is Rambo, and then he like goes and sneaks up behind people, and he like sneak attacks them, and he's like, shh, 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 and he takes them out. That's Christie. That's like, he's like a silent assassin as well. You know what I mean?
Do you get that? Christie's definitely the guy that you fear. I not for him to take this the wrong way, but anytime he is not leading the tournament going into the last day, he will be my pick to win.
You get the, it's the drive. Is it that hidden drive that you have?
It just seems like when he's coming from behind, he's that guy. If you look at a lot of his wins, I studied everybody, Denny, Jason. And if you look at a lot of his wins, he's bad to come from behind on that last day and really do something special.
Yeah,
I think he would agree with that. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, he's been that guy the last few years that if he makes it to the last day, that's the guy you have to pick to win.
What is it, Jason? Do you get mad?
I think on a serious note, I mean, I've thought about this. I think whenever you're leading, I think I burn a lot of stuff up. You know, you're leading, you stay in the same area, you burn a lot of fish, you run out of fish on the last day. And then whenever you're not leading, I think you just kind of have an open mind you know, you go out on the last day and you're catching them on a jig, and all of a sudden you pick up a buzz bait and you take off and things change. But, I mean, I've won a few leading from the beginning, but, it's like Hackney said, coming from behind seems to be my forte.
And
would you say, Jason, you're not afraid to go all in?
Oh, we have another comedian on tonight. Hackney knows me. Like, I am, it's funny. You were talking earlier. If you guys ever watched the movie Tin Cup, that's kind of like me.
Yeah.
I mean, have you ever watched that, Hackney?
I have.
Yeah, I mean, on the last day, like, that's me. I mean, I'm either, that's just me. I think I'm going to wrap my boat in tin cup next year.
That's outstanding. Hey, Denny Brower, you've had I don't know if you want to call it the privilege of fishing against these two monsters, but what's something that you, a legend, have learned from either competing against these two guys or watching them? What's something you learned from them, Denny?
Well, I think more than anything, it's their intensity. You just know that going into the tournament that they're going to maintain that same intensity, whether they're behind or ahead. But one thing I know about both of them is the willingness to go for that run ball on the last day. I don't think either one of them have ever been embarrassed to finish last. And that's kind of the mentality you got to have if you're going to finish first a bunch. They both have it, and I think that's a rare quality. And that's what separates a lot of guys that win a lot and a lot of guys that, you know, finish second or third that end up fishing a little bit too conservative. And with both of those guys observing them, either one of them are very conservative.
You got to look out.
Risk takers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. There's in all three of your careers, there's been many moments of badassness. I say that with all due respect. Like, I'll start with Christy. So, that 2000, first off, 2011, the opens, kicking butt in the opens, Jason. And then 2013, your win at Bull Shoals. That's where I was like, all right, this dude is a badass. He, all 4 days, and correct me if I'm wrong, I might even have the tournament wrong. Sometimes I Rain Man this. That would be embarrassing. But so you used a different bait like every day. It was a different deal every day. It was like you were flipping, you were Carolina rigging, you were throwing a top water. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, and go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
It just seems like on that event, there was a creek that I was fishing in, and every day we had different conditions. The first day it blew 25, cloudy, and I just, you know, I had seen them come up schooling, and I couldn't do that. And then the second day, I don't even remember the order that I caught them. And the second day, I think Carolina rig, and the third day I caught them flipping bushes. And finally, the fourth day, they come up schooling. You know, it was one of those deals. And a lot of times on a Highland reservoir like that, you're going to have, you can't fish the same bait, you know, all days. You have to fish something a little bit different.
And that's so. When we were like, as bass fishing fans, and you guys chime in if anything different here, but that's like, here's Jason Christie. I think as bass fishing fans, that's like, here's Christie. This is this dude. He's here for one reason, and that's to win. That's when I saw you first making an impact.
Yeah, hey, sorry to interrupt, but Jason, you just got sponsored by Tin Cup Whiskey, by the way. So just contact Luke Foley. And that's such a
well, I mean, if you honestly think about it, that's my career, Tin Cup. I mean, like Denny says, there's nobody more like I'm not afraid to lose. It's really not. I've had a lot of drives back to the house that that the days didn't end up good, but also I've had some good drives as well.
Did you ever do like in the end of the movie where you just break off 10 crankbaits on the same laydown? Just give me another crankbait. Give me another crankbait.
I've done it with the spinnerbait a bunch. I've thrown that thing like 7 hours and not gotten a bite, and finally you're like, I might need to do something a little bit different.
Yeah.
Exactly. Brower's moments of badassness. Of course, the dock fish that Jason Christie referred to. But Jason and Greg, I got to tell you the most badass moment ever with Denny Brower. And you may or may not be aware of this, is that he actually did shots in a New York alley with Ozzy Osbourne, the Prince of Darkness. Are you aware of that, guys?
I was not at all.
That's real talk, Jason Christie. Yes,
actually real.
That's real. Denny, tell him this is not a true story I just made up. Tell him I'm not making this up.
No, you're not making it up. I guess it was first appearance that I made with David Letterman, that Ozzy Osbourne, they're trying to recreate his career, so to speak. So they had him on. And then they had a break. They had us out actually in the street, and I was supposed to give him casting practices, and you know, Ozzy had not a clue to use a bait cast reel, and he actually bounced one off a limo and put a big dent in the hood of that and ruined the bait cast. He button put reel. He probably had more metal as it, but it's an experience I'll never forget.
I
think to interpret, guys, he said you had more metal than your spinnerbait box. Is that what you said he did?
Yeah, I mean, Ozzy, I'd never been around an individual like that, being, you know, just a Midwestern boy lost in New York City. And yeah, Jason's got a lot of blades and dangly stuff in his spinnerbait box, but Ozzy probably had him beat.
Wait, what do you think about that story, Christy?
I just heard Letterman. He was. I didn't know he was on Letterman
twice.
And he's. I think more than once.
Yeah.
New York City. I pulled a boat through New York City once. I was lost. Other than that, I mean, I didn't know that he had done anything like that.
That's Ozzy Heckney. Yeah. Brower, your buddy over here, one of the legends of the sport, one of the icons, is doing shots with Ozzy Osbourne, loosening him up for a little baitcaster 101.
Yeah, I actually remember him being on Letterman. He was the first fisherman on the box of Wheaties. And that I'm pretty sure that's what stimulated the invite to be on the David Letterman show.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Here's a fun fact, too. Denny, you know your buddy Greg. He was on a cereal box, too. What was that? Were you Kellogg's, Greg?
Yeah, I was on the cornflake box.
Go figure. Cornflakes kind of figures. That's right, ain't it, Christy? And,
You know, if the shoe fits, you know what I mean?
Well, here's something interesting. I found Denny Brower Wheaties boxes on eBay full of Wheaties. Are going for $1,399 a piece. Greg Hackney Kellogg's boxes, full, on eBay, are going for $13.99 a piece. So just show you. Look it up, guys.
Double the retail.
That's
cost,
almost so double. That's like a new car price. Yeah, tell them what you won, Don Pardo. But that's a big deal. Speaking of you, Greg Hackney, moments of badass, man. Your 2004 season, rookie of the year. Like, dude, everyone knows that year of Hackney, the year of the hack attack, man. Just everybody's like, oh, my God, Greg Hackney. You hear about Hackney? And there's Hackney, right? I mean, kicking butt. And then, let's see what happens. And then I think it was like 2005, here you come, and now you win. I think the first derb out of the gate, you win like on brownfish or something, you know, on smallmouth and show you're versatile. I mean, that's pretty badass, Greg. You know what I mean? Like, that was a big time for you, dude.
Yeah, it was good. It was good times. It's, you know, it's just one of those deals. You know, you have those, sometimes they're looking for you, and most of the time you're looking for them, but I prefer when they're looking for me.
So,
hey, let me tell you this story about Denny Brower.
Please.
This is probably the most impressive thing that Denny's ever done.
Okay.
We were at Little Rock, Arkansas, on the Arkansas River, fixing to fish in the Elite Series. And I'm in pool set, first day of practice, pool 7, right above it's in the pool right above where we took off from, or we're going out for the event. I'm fishing on a sandbar right outside the mouth of this backwater. Here comes Denny running. I feel bad about this. I've never told anybody this. So I'm fishing down this sandbar, and he comes by and waves. I never do anything. I know what's fixing to happen. He's fixing to run up on this sandbar. I never wave him off or anything. He runs completely out on the ground till the boat runs over on its side. Yeah. Yeah, it's so great.
Oh, so,
I'm like, so I'm just sitting there watching. I'm like, the sandbar is sticking out of the water a foot. Like, it's not hidden. It's out of the water. I'm like, surely he's not going to do this. And I'm like, oh, yes, he is. I just stand there and watch as he runs aground. Okay, but to get the last laugh, what does he do? We pull it. I take a bunch of pictures. I still have them on my phone. I will post those pictures after this.
Yeah, please do. Yeah.
We pull his boat off of that sandbar. He goes to the ramp and takes out and drives to Pine Bluff, Arkansas, and unloads the boat and finds the winning fish and wins the event. It was Denny's last win on the Bassmaster Tour. How about that?
Wow.
Yeah. Yes.
Holy.
He caught him offshore dragging a jig. He is an impressive guy.
That was the lock tournament.
Yeah. Brower, what did he do to you?
Well, what he didn't tell you, that was the third time that day that I'd actually been on a handbar and been pulled off. It ended. I decided I needed to pulls, and it worked out rather well.
Christy, that's like a real Bugs Bunny type thing for Hackney to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I have a story about, about Hackney.
Okay.
I don't know, and he may have to refresh my memory. I think it was 2000. I show up to a BFL regional at Sam Rayburn, and it was kind of my first time outside the county. And I roll in down there, and we're practicing, and didn't know anybody, really didn't have a clue. And you get to, you know, you get to the registration or whatever, and all you hear is this name, Greg Hackney, Greg Hackney, Greg Hackney. And the first day I go out, and I think I'm in second or third. I have like 14 pounds. I should have had 25, but it's one of those shoulda, coulda, wouldas. But Mr. Greg Hackney, he had him like, what, 6 or 8 the first day?
No, I had the big bass, and I had like 13 and a half pounds the first day.
You were, I thought you were lower than that, because I remember that.
I think I was 8. I was either 7th or 8th after the first
Okay. day. Well, I'm out. Anyway, I think I was above you. My first time being at Sam Rayburn. You know, I didn't say it out loud, but you're thinking in your mind, that dude's not so bad. You know?
I honestly know where this story's going.
Yeah. I honestly thought that you only had like 5 or 6 pounds the first day.
No, I had 13.
And then the second day, the dude has to have a wheelbarrow to carry him up to the scales and blows everybody away. Yeah. I had one fish the second day.
Yeah. Oh, that'll show you to quit that stinking thinking, Christy.
Yeah.
Hey,
he's sneaky like that.
He is a sneak. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. I have a viewer question. And this is from Dark Zona from the South, or Dark Mona. Sorry. I messed that up. From the south side of Chicago. And he says, Denny has 46 deer heads behind him. I don't even know who the question's for. I'm just reading as it comes in, okay? It says, Denny has 46 deer heads behind him, and Christy has a cupboard from the movie Witness with Harrison Ford behind him. And Hackney has a picture of him. The question is, I mean, WTF. That's the question. So, Denny, the question will go to you. Why does Hackney have a picture of him, and then Christy has the cupboard from Witness behind him?
I would really like to pass on this.
And you have exactly 46 deer heads. That's pretty impressive.
I'm not sure where that came from.
it's some guy that talks a lot. He used to live in Chicago, and now he lives in Michigan, and he's very observant. He's
48.
There's 48. He just counted him. He always wins that contest. The same guy, like if you walk into a place with him and it says, how many jelly beans are in this jar? He wins it every time, Christy. He wins that contest every time. That's the guy.
Yeah. Like I said, I had to kind of defer on my background because I'm not showing my deer heads after Denny showed his. I was actually going to get up and do a little tour. And
Go for it.
I know. I don't think we hunt the same places. I think he's fishing at Falcon and I'm fishing at Beaver Lake, Arkansas.
Yeah. That's the difference. Something that's not different and something that makes you guys great as anglers is that you have done well in every tour that there is. In fact, you have fished multiple tours at the same time. Is that a key to success? Is that it? Just kind of seems when anglers do that, that success follows. And I'll ask you that first, Denny. Did that seem to just naturally progress when you fished two tours simultaneously?
I think as competitors, we're wanting to fish, and for a lot of years we didn't have enough events. So when two tours came along, it was obvious we were going to go out there and fish as many events as we could. And, you know, it just increased our odds of making a good living doing that. And I think the more time you're on the water competing at that level, probably the better you're going to get. So I think it's a good thing. I know there for a while I was fishing bass, FLW, and filming a TV show, and I was home very little, but I really enjoyed those times because they were some of the most competitive events I ever fished, and I thought I probably fished better than I ever did in my whole career just because I was on the water so much.
Yeah, Christy, I can't remember. I think I was with you early last winter, and we were over in, maybe in Oklahoma at a Bass U or something, and you were talking about you were just getting into fishing the opens and fishing the MLF and the Bass Pro Tour as well, and how you were really looking forward to the edge that brings you as an angler. Did you feel it? Did it happen to you this year?
In a way, I agree with what Denny said. You know, like up until I think it was 2012, I fished just FLW. 13, I qualified for both, and I fished both. And I remember 28 days in a row, I was fishing with the exception of one day, and I drove 13 hours that day. That's all you think about. You know, at the end of the year, or when it was going on, I hated it. At the end of the year, obviously financially and just for my career, I won three events. It was awesome. But whenever you're on the water that much, that's all you think about. I think what really kind of messed up the year for me was the virus. I mean, once I'm Hackney can say that, I kind of got that all in attitude and we started off and then we stepped away for 3 or 4 months, you know, and then I'm back in fishing. But also now I'm sharing my time with the deer stand. You know, I get out of the deer stand and run home and hop on this call. It's not like it's just everyday fishing but still I've fished a good bit this year and I like fishing a lot. My kids are grown up now and for the most part I love fishing a lot.
Heck yeah, man. And what about you, Greg? I mean, what has that done for you, that two tour time?
Yeah, I definitely think it was the best thing for me. It's hard. And you do spend so much time away, but you know, I fished both tours so I started in FLW and then went to Bass. I had actually fished FLW for a couple of years before I started fishing Bassmaster. And then for, I guess, all the way up to the start of the Elite Series, I fished both tours, you know, from the time I started. And then there was some time went by, you know, cause when the Elite Series first started, you know, we had 11 regular Elite Series events and then we were fishing 4 Elite 50s and then they changed to the majors. But we were fishing so much then I didn't really need to fish both tours. And then, you know, something happened, you know, the economy, whatever. And we lost a lot of tournaments and I got the opportunity again, you know, later on in 2008 or 9, I guess you know, was fishing some FLWs and then, you know, which I won the FLW championship. So, I mean, I've always done better fishing both tours. Like in 2014, when I won the Bassmaster Angler of the Year, I also fished the FLW tour that year. And it just seemed like for me personally, it's always been the more days I spend on the water. And I think it goes back to what Jason says. You don't think about anything else. You don't have any distractions when you're fishing every day where, if you fish once a month, you got 30 days in there to think about everything under the sun other than fishing. So every day when you get up, because like in 14, I actually fished 6 events straight, 6 weeks straight. Wow. Now that was the most I'd ever fished at one time, but I fished for 6 weeks straight. And I will tell you this, the last tournament, I remember this, the sixth tournament in that stretch was at Beaver and I was spent. I didn't do any good at that. I remember trying to force the fish in that deal to do something because I was burnt out. So for 5 weeks, I was good. I think I had like three top threes in that deal. You know, I was rolling and everything. But on the sixth week, I finally got burnt out.
Really takes so much.
But yeah, the deal of fishing every day like that, if you know, like, so for, you know, guys coming up, younger guys, I'd advise them to fish every tournament they can get in because that's how you get better. Like you just learn so much tournament fishing that you don't just, it's important just to go fishing, but it's much more important like to go through that process of practicing and that mental game of, you know, preparing for a tournament. And it's just a different mindset, you know? So when you can do that every day, nothing beats it.
Yeah, man. It's the zone. And it's like, and Denny, you've heard it about, you know, Klun talk about it, that that total emergence, the total emergence into fishing. You know, Klun would take it to the extremes. But I think it's obviously the more the fish, the better you get, you know?
Yeah, I think what really made it tough this year for all the guys was the virus and the rescheduling and not knowing from week to week really what was going on. And boy, I commend them guys because the mental part of the sport is huge. And when you don't really know what you're doing or how long the season's going to last, or even if you're going to have one, that really makes it tough.
Yeah. And, but it did give you time to maybe think, but that could be a bad thing too. That could be a bad thing too, to sit around and stew about why you're not competing. But it also is a time to get better as a bass angler too, isn't it? Downtime?
Successful bass anglers want to do two things. They want to get out there and compete, or they want to be done competing and be in a tree stand. And right now, is he in a tree stand yet?
Yeah.
Hey, Denny, there's been a lot of amazing moments for you as an individual and a lot of amazing years. And I have to ask you, what is your favorite Denny Brower year? What year was your most memorable as a professional bass fisherman?
Oh, without a doubt, it'd probably be 1998. The one thing that always eluded during my career was winning the Classic. And that year I got a pretty good roll and ended up winning a couple tournaments right before the Classic. Then ended up winning. And then won the tournament right after the class. I think in a four tournament span or a five tournament span for the tournaments, and plus the FLW year, and I think I finished second bass angler of the deal. But the neatest part about that whole deal was I unqualified for the Classic, and we ended up in the Classic together. So he was there fishing right before winning the event. That's something I'll never.
Man, Denny, you cut up a little bit. I missed who you said was in the event.
My son Chad qualified for that class, and it was just pretty neat to have him there alongside me when I actually won the event. I think he had Big Bass one of the days of that particular Classic.
Yeah, that was. I remember awesome. It well. I remember that deal well, man. Let's get into a little bit of technique here real quick. 'Cause you're all shallow water demons. Let's be real about it. So let's get into some bass fishing, stuff and some life stuff. What do you think? You all right with that, Christy? All right. So Andy, what do you want to do first? You want to do life stuff or bass fishing stuff? Give me some theme music.
Technique, bud.
Technique. Okay, let's do technique stuff first. Okay, so this question goes to you, Jason Christie. All right, so pick one flip bait and one wind bait. You only get one. One flip bait and one
A jig and a spinner bait.
Jig and a spinner bait. Real simple. Hackney, you.
Well, wow, he's already got it.
Okay.
I'm going to say a jig and a frog.
Jig and a frog.
Eddie. Oh, dadgummit, I forgot about that one.
Denny, a jig and a wind, or a flip bait and a wind bait. What do you got?
Well, I'm going with one of my Strike King jigs, and I'm going with the Strike King Thunder Cricket.
The Thunder Cricket. Ooh. Look what Denny did. You see how he did that, guys? Give me some shallow water sneak, Jason Christie. So, I mean, you guys...
We got to rotate the questions. You got to start with Hackney now.
Okay.
I can't be the first one.
How you did that, Coach. I like how you did that. Okay, here we go. Here we go.
I do better in the crowd.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Hackney, I need some shallow water sneak from you. Now, if the water's clear, do you still go shallow? And tell me what to look for if you do.
Well, yeah, just because the water's clear, why wouldn't you go shallow? Because
us weekend guys get scared.
You just got to look for something for them to hide around.
Well, tell me.
And it's not necessarily something for them to hide around. It's something for you to be able to surprise them. You know, that's the whole deal. When the water's clear, you got to look for something that's got some shade. You know, something that you can present the bait to them without them seeing you or know it's coming.
Okay. And again,
you know, so realistically, it doesn't matter if the water's clear or not, you know, because, you know, we go up north and a lot where the water is gin clear and the largemouth live 3 foot or less. I mean, a lot of times, like on northern lakes, they'll be so shallow that you think their back is sticking out of the water and the water looks like rainwater. You know, it's so clear, but they're always around something, whether it's willow trees or, you know, some grass or something, but you just got to look for something for them to get around.
So Denny,
I just find it when the water's that clear, you know, they're just going to be around the cover.
Yeah. I mean, and that's an obvious kind of thing too. Yeah, of course, we're going to look for shade and for cover, but do you think then in your clear water stuff, Greg, that like, if you're going to go shallow, that proximity to the deep water becomes more crucial?
Not at all.
Not at all.
Again, this goes back to fishing. The shallowest fish I've ever caught are fish on northern natural lakes.
I love it. I love it.
You cannot. I mean, we've been to Oneida where you would be 100 yards from 3 feet of water and they're in 8 inches of water. Yeah. It's like northern fish actually get shallower than southern fish. I mean, and it's extremely clear water. They'll literally be in 8 inches of water.
Christy, did that intimidate you when you first started fishing around the country? Like, I know you're a shallow water guy. Or were you just right away like, I know the fish are shallow, this doesn't bother me if the water's clear at all?
Well, when you're fishing against these guys, I mean, you gotta fish with your strengths. And obviously, mine's fishing shallow. And you know, Greg kind of hit it on the head. You can fish shallow year round. Where I live at, you're 365 days out of the year, you can catch them shallow. The only thing that I would add to what he said is when it gets clear like that, that was the question, is I just speed everything up. I don't want them to get a good look at it. Usually I might usually flip a half ounce jig. I'm going to flip a 3/4 ounce jig. I'm going to make my frog go 90 miles an hour instead of 40 miles an hour.
I got you. Okay.
Hey, before you ask another question, can Christy show us the pants he's wearing? No. You don't. Let's see them.
The chat board's been all over that too.
No.
You don't have any pants on.
Oh no, I always freeball during these things.
That's the right answer.
I got on a shirt. No. Let's see the pants. I caught a glimpse of them. Then we got to see them.
They're the Mountain Dew pajamas.
I knew it.
Talk about badass.
That is so awesome.
Wow. Yeah. The Jason Christie Mountain Dew pajamas.
Who went extreme.
Yes.
Yep.
Extreme sleepwear.
2011, I was sponsored by Mountain Dew, and I got these as a Christmas present. I think my mom got them for me.
That is great.
Broward, these guys are characters.
Oh, they are. They're a mess.
Denny, don't tell Denny to stand up because he doesn't have on any pants either.
That's the magic of a bass fishing talk show, guys. That's what you get here.
You're on camera now.
So, yeah. Broward.
No shoes, no pants, no problem.
Broward, do you believe the evolution of this sport? Of course you have been on real talk shows like David Letterman and stuff, but now there's actually like bass fishing talk shows like this. That's just crazy, isn't it, Denny?
The sport has really expanded. That's all good. It gives guys opportunities to, you know, promote their brands, etc. But that's just part of the sport. It's going to continue to grow as media grows, whether that's good, bad, or indifferent. That's just part of the nature of the game now. So I think it's all good.
Yeah, man. It's like bass fishing. Denny, would you say that bass fishing is more competitive now than it has ever been?
No, I think it's always been very, very competitive. I think the overall quality of the field is probably stronger. If that makes it more competitive, I guess it probably is. You always had a group of anglers that they were going to go out and fish their heart out. They were going to be tough to beat. Some of them same anglers, you put them out, it's very, very competitive. I think technology has changed. It's easier for a lot of people to be.
Yeah, it's and technology definitely is a big progressive player in this sport. No doubt about it. We just saw Patrick Walters win at the in Texas with some technology and some amazing bass fishing catches. Another century day, huh, Christy?
He smoked them. I sat in the deer stand and watched a lot of that.
I mean, that was a spectacle, man. Patty Walters. It was pretty amazing. Hey, let's go back more technique. Hackney, crankbait line. Fluorocarbon or mono and why?
99% of the time I crank with fluorocarbon. I use a glass rod or a semi-glass rod and like half glass and half. And the fluorocarbon's more sensitive. You get a better hookup. It has less stretch. There are still situations where I get around really, really bad wood. And you won't get hung near as much cranking mono. Still more times than not, I crank fluorocarbon.
Okay.
But there are situations where if I'm cranking sight, like a lot of times, like not every part of the country has wood. You know, the southern part of the United States, there's still a lot of timbered reservoirs, you know, with a lot of standing timber and, of course, cypress trees around my house. And sometimes when, you know, cranking a square bill around those trees, if you throw mono, you won't get hung near as much.
You
still catch the fish, because think about it like this. I always tell people this. Like, there's a new generation of fishermen out there that have never caught a fish cranking on monofilament.
It's true.
They exist. I had a guy tell me, I won't call his name. He is a touring professional. And he said, he was asking me, and the same question came up. And I was like, well, you can tie that plug. He was getting hung a lot. And I was like, just tie that plug on monofilament. And I said, you won't get hung near as much. And he's like, oh, I don't know if I can get the hook in them. I'm like, what? I'm like, I've only caught 10 billion on monofilament before I started using fluorocarbon. So, you know, that's how it is with a lot of things. Stuff didn't quit working. You know, we just came up with something better or whatever. But I'd say most of the time for me cranking, shallow cranking with, you know, always deep cranking with fluorocarbon. Shallow cranking would be the only time that there might be a situation where I might use monofilament. And it would, again, just be bad wood, and you don't get hung as much using mono.
Greg, why is that? Why does the mono? Is it because it floats?
Because one reason it's softer, and you don't react as quick. And think about this. When you crank that bait into a piece of wood with monofilament, there is more stretch, and the line is deader, if that makes sense. It's not as sensitive. So there's more of an opportunity to work that bait over and not to react.
Gotcha.
And work that bait over a piece of wood, where with fluorocarbon, I mean, you just barely react and no stretch in the line, you know, or less stretch. There is some stretch, but less stretch in the line, you know, will have a tendency, and it's denser and the bait runs a little deeper. You know, that's the other thing. A bait won't run as deep on monofilament as it does fluorocarbon.
Keep it up.
So there's a couple different reasons there but you will not get hung as much cranking a square bill around wood, around real heavy wood, you know, with mono. But typically for me, when I do that deal, when I go to mono, it's 20 pound mono and you're short line cranking. You know what I mean? You're not making long casts. You're making short underhand cast, you know, around targets.
Pulling on them when they.
Awesome.
What about you, Danny?
Good stuff.
Are you a fluoro or a mono crankbait guy?
Well, I pretty well agree with everything Greg said. Fluorocarbon probably 90% of the time. The only time I ever use mono is if I'm throwing a popper in real clear water, because fluorocarbon sinks and monofilament will float. And so I'll use it under the condition. But with a lot of my topwater bait, I use braid. So, you know, monofilament doesn't play a very big part in my fishing at all.
Gotcha. And what about you, Jason? Are you pretty much, as far as your crankbaits, you're cranking with graphite, aren't you?
And I do all of my cranking with fluorocarbon. The only thing I do is the situation that Greg is talking about, I go to a lot softer rod.
Okay.
I'm a believer that I want to get a hook in them. So I use a, you know, not a stiff rod, but a stiffer than most people. But once I get around a lot of wood, I'll go to a real soft wad. So a real soft rod so you can walk the bait through the cover.
Yeah. I'm
with Does you. He need to tell us more about this soft rod that he uses?
I don't know, Dr. Greg. Are you a therapist now?
Well, I don't know. He kind of got tongue-tied when he got to talking about how soft his rod was, so I didn't know.
They are getting older.
Yeah. Hey, Denny will give both of you guys tips on that because he doesn't have that problem we heard.
There's
so.
A pill for that.
Yeah, Denny knows. Hey, speaking of Mr. Brower, Denny, what's something that you can learn at this age to make you a better fisherman?
Well, actually, when I had to move to Lake, I'd spent most of my career hunting for dirty water, and this lake is the exact opposite. It's a very clear water lake, and I always shied away from nest techniques, and since I moved here, wanted to learn how to drop shot and do some things. Nothing keeps me from having a bad day.
Hold on one second, Den. Andy, go ahead.
Denny,
speak up, please.
Turn your phone horizontally because I think it's blocking up the microphone.
Okay, Andy thinks you're...
There we go. Try that for a minute.
Let me hear you, Den.
Is that better?
Yes.
Oh, my.
Oh, my goodness. Here's Denny Brower. Okay.
Is that all it
oh,
was?
Oh, Lord.
We heard you before, but you were kind of breaking up in and out. But this is a heck of a lot better. Good thinking, Andy. Thank you for
now
that.
Now move that block or whatever.
Yeah. Now there's a giant. You have a giant block of plutonium in front of you now. What is that? Oh, there it is.
There we go.
Where'd you get plutonium at, by the way? What could you learn, Denny Brower, at this age to make you a better bass fisherman? What do you think you need?
Well,
to
probably the finesse fishing. When I moved down here, when we'd get them high bluebird skies and that, and fishing to get real tough, I found that if I go to 8-pound test line and get a drop shot out, that I could catch fish on days where otherwise I might not be able to. And I always shied away from the super deep water. And shoot, here we've caught them 80-foot deep before. So if anything else, it's opened my eyes to that type of fishing.
Gotcha. So, I mean, you've had to learn finesse, in other words, to survive sometimes.
I didn't have to learn it, but I chose to learn it just so that on some of them days I would be able to go out and catch fish when otherwise I probably wouldn't have been able to get many bites.
What do you think about that, Hackney? If you had describe finesse fishing in Greg Hackney's terms.
I would really like to see Denny, a video of Denny with a Ned rig.
that might be a little too much. Thank you.
I hear him say this, but I would have to visually. I need to see this. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
Denny's drop shotting. I'm like, is he gonna lose his man card? He can't do this. This is Denny Brower. The father of the flipping stick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you're talking about finesse, I'm like, whatever.
Yeah. You think I made that up?
You're not buying it, Hack.
Oh, my God. He's playing the part right now.
Hey, well, you saw Jason Christie win the St. Clair Derb. I was like, oh, my gosh, Jason Christie owns spinning tackle.
I think he caught a bunch of those fish on a bait caster.
Well, yeah, but
I love them.
Oh, was it all of them?
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I remember some yellow line spinning rod deal. I don't know what derb was that.
Oh, I thought he was catching them on a like a 3/4 ounce tube and a bait caster.
Talk to me. What am I talking about then, Christy? What am I saying?
Hackney's right. Both events that I won at St. Clair was with a bait caster.
Were they really? In the big tube. Okay, I gotcha. But why am I envisioning like one of the first times seeing like yellow braid?
I think I caught them. I caught them on the St. Lawrence River. Once doing that. That may have been it. There was another time that I finished high at St. Clair. I think I caught a few drop shotting.
He used the spinning rod once.
I honestly don't know.
Well, gosh.
He doesn't act like it was many times. There were those few times.
So Hackney, let's get real with Denny now that we got his audio all completely dialed in. So Denny, how many rods are in your rod box in your boat right now? Like total number of rod combinations.
Well, there'd be six rods on each side on the deck, and in the rod locker, there's probably another 10 or 15.
And how many of those combinations are spinning tackle?
Two.
Two out of all. Look at Hackney.
He's not buying into that, is he?
Yeah. The truth is coming out.
My question is, are those two on the deck, or are they in the rod locker?
They're in the rod locker, believe me.
And they're four-piece rods, Jason. They're those ones that come in a tube. So if he's going to use them, he has to take them all out of the
tube.
They're
telescopic.
Yeah, put all four pieces together, then put the reel on, spool up with fluoro, and it's a big mess. It's a big mess.
So, Denny, are you tying up? What knot do you tie? Do you tie the FG knot?
I'm tying a granny. I'm going with the granny knot on.
Get him, Hack. Get him. Oh, gosh. Hey, Brower, what grinds your gears about professional bass fishing? What grinds your gears?
I guess more than anything, guys that aren't capable of finding their own fish.
Okay. I like that answer. How about you, Christy? What grinds your gears about pro bassing?
What he said is way up there. I think just doing it the right way. I think I'm going to leave it at that. Just doing it the right way.
So it grinds your gears when people don't do it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I gotcha. How about you, Hack?
Yeah, the networking. There's just a lot of things that go on now that didn't used to go on when I started. You know what I mean? Like, it's almost like now there's a group out there that feels like they need to have an advantage over everybody, if that makes sense.
Okay.
It kind of goes back to that same deal of doing it the right way and not finding your own fish. And I'm kind of like the two guys that are on this call with us right now are straight shooters, if that makes sense.
100%.
Now, I'm a huge proponent of that. And like, so this is my deal. I don't believe in the gray area. And I do believe there's a bunch of guys out there in our sport right now. Our sport is very competitive. But like Denny said, I don't think it's any more. I think the average angler is better than they've ever been before just because they can watch all these videos and with the technology that's out there. And so used to when like Denny would win a tournament or whoever, I would read that in Bassmaster and then have to take that to the lake and decipher what they did. Well, now Denny can go out there and win a tournament. We can watch him live winning the tournament and be on the lake doing the exact same technique. So that's what's making the anglers better.
100%.
It's
instant.
It's not because instant. They're working harder now than they've ever worked before. That is not what it is. But I just believe there's a group of guys out there that, you know, that are that there's a lot more gray area now than there used to be, if that makes sense. So I'm a huge proponent of doing everything right too. And I don't think that, you don't want to asterisk by anything you've done or accomplished in this sport. And the two guys that are on here with me don't have an asterisk by anything they've done. They've accomplished what they've done the right way. You know what I mean?
I do.
They're badasses because they are truly badass, not because of something that they beat the system. You know what I mean?
I get it.
So I'm the same way.
100%. Yeah. I get
no
it.
No performance enhancing drugs.
Are you at a turning point of your career right now, Greg Hackney?
As in, what do you mean by that? I'm turning straight up. I'm definitely at a turning point in my career.
Hey, Christy, he's turned up, is what he's saying.
Turning it up.
It's done turnt, Denny Brower. That's what he's saying. I mean, do you feel different? Do you feel that I mean, you're fishing the opens, man. I mean, I know you're out there. You're fishing the opens. You and Jason are both doing it. And there has to be a goal in mind.
Well, I actually have two goals in mind. One would be requalifying for the elites, and the other one is making the Bassmaster Classic.
Okay.
So I got one shot in a week at accomplishing both.
Okay.
I'll take either one. How about that?
Okay. And next week's a big week for you.
Yeah, next week is a huge week for me. I spent all day today preparing tackle and getting ready, and I'm not deer hunting. I want to be, but I'm going to try to wait. I did get to go hunting last week for a few days, but this week is all about preparing for next week. Our last open is at the last Central Open is at Lake Louisville in Texas, and I've never been there before, but I'm looking forward to it. Looks like the weather's going to be nice, but there is a lot riding on next week.
Yeah, it's a big derb for you. And Jason, you're doing pretty well into points in the opens as well, and fishing well.
Yeah, it's been good. It just kind of took off from. I mean, you know, you do good in this one, you do better in the next one. The last one I didn't do very good in, but it's kind of ended up where it is. And I was going to ask Greg what I've heard that at Louisville, it's going to take like 23 pounds a day just to make the top 10, if he agrees or not.
I find in the opens, it don't take 23 pounds for anything, hardly. The lakes get pretty beat up in the opens. There's no off limits in the opens, and it's a large field, and the bodies of water we fish, with the exception of Rayburn, have been, you know, smaller. And so I find that the opens are very challenging because, like, so just taking a leap, for example, right now there are 85 guys fishing. So the lakes fish pretty big. And typically in that situation, the weights are high when you don't have many guys out there and guys can have areas by themselves. I think in the opens, the weights are lower because you're always sharing water with people. You don't never really get an opportunity to have an area by yourself. And I don't expect Louisville to be much different. I hear a lot of, I know that Van Dam caught 11 pounder there in a major and,
on a shaky head, on a spinning
on
rod.
On a shaky head, spinning on
rod.
The dam.
It was Denny Brower's spinning rod, actually. He borrowed it from Denny.
That one. Yeah. That's back when Denny only had one.
Yeah.
but I do think it'll be a challenging tournament, and I don't think it'll be a high-weight event. I do think we're at a good time of the year, though. Weather's going to be nice, but there, yes, there is a lot riding on next week.
Hey, Denny, you laughed when at I don't know why you laughed, but when Jason asked Hackney that question, and then Hackney smiled a bit, you laughed at both of those guys. Why'd you laugh?
I don't remember. I'm just going to plead ignorance.
Were you kind of?
I've got so much dirt on him that I just can't even get started.
Well, tell me a Hackney story. Tell me something dumb that Greg Hackney's done.
I'm so sworn to silence that I just can't go there.
Oh, you guys.
I will say this. Neither one of those guys have ever got to catch another fish to prove how successful they've been on their whole careers. But I know as competitive as they are and as young as they are, they've got a lot of good years ahead of them. And I wish them nothing but the best. They're going to be very competitive no matter what they're fishing or where they're fishing.
No doubt about it. The fish fear them. They just look at them wrong, Denny, just like you. They look at the fish wrong and they jump in the boat. You know what I mean? That's not true. Don't you wish that was true, Denny?
I do.
Hey, Denny.
It doesn't work that way.
All your years, you've been through crazy sponsors. You must have had some off-the-wall sponsor, let's put it that way. Through all your years, and I want to hear about maybe an off the wall Denny Brower sponsor.
I don't know whether I really had any off the wall. I think I had Anheuser-Busch come on board early in my career, and that was a unique experience working with a big corporation like that, and that opened my eyes to a totally different type of sponsorship involvement. So that was a unique experience, but I've been blessed to have just a wonderful lineup of sponsors and some of them that I still work with to this day.
Yeah, man. Like from the get go, man. I mean, and you've been, how many years you've been with Strike King now?
Oh gosh. I don't know. Virtually mainly my whole career.
Yeah.
Which, that's just been a wonderful relationship, and I still enjoy working with them, helping them design new products. And one thing about being basically semi-retired. It gives me more time to work with the different sponsors as far as product development and things like that. So that's still something I enjoy doing. I don't enjoy getting out on the road as much as I used to, but product development is something that I see myself doing for quite a few more years.
Yeah, man. And you got a cool life, Denny. I mean, let's face it. You've had an amazing career. You still have an amazing career. And when I was talking to you on the phone the other day, hey, Christy, get this. So I'm talking to Denny Brower, the legend, right? Me, this long hair hippie talking to Denny Brower on the phone, right? And he's like, hey, get this, Pat. I'm going to do a TV show tomorrow. It's called YOLO. You only live once, he says. That's what he says, Hackney. He goes, it's called YOLO. You only live once. And I goes, they got a hold of me and I'm filming it tomorrow. So I want to ask you how that YOLO show went, Denny.
Not so good. They didn't bite too good today. I probably should have got out my drop shot.
You got out the drop shot because you only live once.
Well, that's right.
You got to take advantage of that, man. Oh, my goodness gracious. All right. So I got to get down to a couple serious life questions here. All right. These are life questions. So I ask you first, Jason Christie, if you were an animal, what animal would you be?
I'm a rattlesnake.
You'd be a rattlesnake. Aren't you scared of snakes?
I am scared of snakes.
Yeah. One time when you were on this show, you actually killed a snake, though, live on the air. Do you remember that? You put like a chair on it. You put like a chair on its head or something.
I don't think so. I think honestly, I'd be a bird of some kind, so I could fly around.
Okay, all right. How about you, Hackney? What would you be?
I'm still thinking about Jason. What animal he would be? I got all kinds of animals he could be.
Well, what would Jason be? What animal would Jason be?
I don't know. I wouldn't think in a rattlesnake. There's a lot of them out there, but a rattlesnake. I was kind of surprised when he said that.
Okay, I mean, me too, honestly.
Hackney, I would be a rattlesnake so I could bite you.
You need to hear it coming. So
what would he be? What would Christy be? What animal would Christy be to you?
You know what? Honestly, a bird might be the fit, like a blue heron.
Okay.
Wouldn't that, you could see him being a blue heron?
Yeah, I could see that.
I mean,
that.
You could come around. I sit come around see him sitting on a point.
Yeah.
I mean, I...
You know, that's perfect. Coot might be more fitting.
What?
A what?
A coot.
Jason the Coot Christie.
Just picking at the grass.
Yeah.
What about anybody else? What about a water turkey?
What?
Oh my gosh.
Oh, this is a hard crowd.
I know. So, all right. So, I mean, Hackney, while I still got you, then, and if you were an animal, what would you be? Greg Hackney.
A chupacabra.
Like, not a lot of people know the sound that a chupacabra makes. What is that sound? I know you can duplicate that sound.
I can, but I'm not going.
Come on, Hackney. What is the dang sound?
No.
Do the sound, Hackney.
I'm not doing
Hackney,
it.
Do the sound.
I think I filmed with Zona one time, and I was a, Wow, he was a centaur. I just remember, like he played the part as the centaur.
Yes, that's apropos. And, yes,
and then I was the half bull, half man. What is that?
The Taurus? I don't know.
Taurus.
Taurus.
Yeah,
the bull.
Something like that.
Yeah. Well, what sound does that make?
Yeah, I can't do that.
Come
either.
On, Hackney. I need an animal sound from you.
No, that you were just asking what kind of animal. You were not asking about the sound.
I want an animal sound from Greg Hackney for the sound clip.
Way to keep it straight.
Give me an animal sound. Do a turkey call, Hackney.
Rawr! That's what the blue heron sounds like. Rawr! You hear him when they fly off a point?
All right. I hope you're happy, Mark Zona. I hope you're happy. I got put up to that one.
Oh, there's no doubt where
that came from.
See
that, Christy?
From.
You see what he did to me? Unreal.
I just can't believe Danny Brower called me a coot.
I apologize. Yeah, you're way, you're, You're way too long to be a coot. That was the reason more the water turkey or the blue heron was a better fit.
He's more lanky, like that heron.
Yeah, he's lanky. So yeah. Kinda, he's extended. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Hey, what animal would Denny Brower be, Greg? What's Denny Brower?
I mean, like a freaking rhino or something. like American, like an American bison.
Okay. I mean,
you know what I mean? An American bison.
Yeah. I'm speaking your language. I'm picking up.
Yeah, he just, standing out in a field somewhere all proud, just all bowed up and proud.
Okay.
And then all he has to do is just turn and look at you. Yeah. And give you that look.
Yeah, bud. Hey, Denny, so we know Jason's a coot, and so what's Hackney?
He's the king of the fishing jungle.
Wow. What's that? What would that be? A gorilla?
George, right?
Oh, no, the lion.
Oh, the lion.
Oh, nice.
Wow. Hackney, you can retire now. Wow.
I could see me sitting around like with a big mane.
Exactly.
Christy, are you calling bullshit on all this, Christy, or what?
Lion.
All I know is it was a lion, American bison, and a coot.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
They always say never hang out with your idols, Christy. They always say that.
Don't meet your idols.
I mean, is that like, would that be like Christy's spirit animal? The coot?
They like grass.
You know, you know there's only one thing that'll choke a lion.
What's that?
That's a coot. Yeah,
that's great.
That's true. Those coots get stuck right in a lion's throat.
That's right.
So I knew this whole deal would take a weird turn sometime.
Yeah,
it took a little longer than I expected.
Well, I got Denny Brower here. I had to behave, Greg.
You know, that is like Denny's like the principal.
Yeah.
You know what? When you think when you're around him, I mean, it's like being around the principal. Everybody's scared to do anything.
Yeah, it's
this is like a Saturday detention.
Denny, those are not my cigarettes in my jacket. Those are my friends. Those were not my smokes or chewing tobacco. It's not mine, Denny. It's my friends. Sorry, Den.
Denny's probably already went to sleep.
No, he's looking at me. He's looking at me like that. Christy's looking at me like that. See what he's doing? Oh, my gosh. Hey, Denny Brower, this is what a bass fishing talk show is these days, I guess.
It really is. You don't know where it's going to go.
It's crazy stuff.
So, Denny, is this kind of like being on the Letterman show?
Exactly. Exactly.
Hey, a boy can only dream. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I need to ask you this question. And I'll ask Denny first, the legend. Denny, did you learn anything from these guys tonight?
Absolutely not. No, I pretty well know a lot about both of them. And it's all good. They're great guys, great fishermen. And, you know, when you listen to their answers, you really anticipate their answers ahead of time. So, no, I can't say I've learned anything because I've studied them both. They're great anglers. And,
okay.
But even more so, they're great people. And that's what I miss about not fishing anymore is being around, you know, good friends like the two of them, because that's what makes the sport fun.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And Jason, I have to ask you, if you could take one thing away from this show tonight that you learned about your buddy Denny and your buddy Greg, what would that be? What did you learn about them tonight?
You know, anytime you talk about Denny, like Hackney said, he's just the big bison in the field. You just, whatever he says goes. So I'm going to go tomorrow after I get in from deer hunting. I'm going to put me a couple spinning rods in my boat. Okay. That's the first thing I learned.
Okay.
And then I also, like, I haven't learned this about Hackney, but I have a question. Like, what did he do 30 minutes prior to getting on this call? What did Hackney do 30 minutes prior to getting on this call? What was his diet?
Valid question.
Liquor.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking.
And what'd you drink?
I've been sipping on a little red wine. Because I knew this show was taking it up a notch, so I figured that wine was the deal.
Wine. That's I like good show. Denny, he picked a fine wine to go with this show. Did you hear that?
I did.
Hackney, what are you taking from this show tonight?
Absolutely nothing.
I would expect no other answer, quite frankly. That's amazing.
Hey, Pat, what was your favorite part?
My favorite part was when Hackney said this was a bunch of BS, basically. But here's something that is not BS at all. While we have all three of you iconic shallow water anglers together, Ryan Popcorn Leviticus Numbers Whitaker over here has some amazing stats about the three of you, and we kind of need to put this into perspective here so you guys really get a grasp on your own personal greatness. You see what I'm saying? So check this out. This is Ryan Whitaker.
Yeah, guys, I'm gonna save the best for first too, but so what these are is some numbers. I talked to Ronnie Moore. He gave me these.
He probed
from
Ronnie
the
Moore
basement archives.
You know Ronnie Moore, right, Jason?
Yeah,
you guys all know. Yeah. Well, Ryan probes him regularly.
Yeah, these are from his basement archives.
He probes actually him in the basement.
Probe him in the basement.
Yes.
But no, so these are just Bassmaster because these are the numbers that are out there.
Okay.
Available to you.
To,
yeah, so as I said, save the best for first. So we're starting with Denny. So
Denny, the legend.
Denny, you fished 319 Bassmaster derbs. You fished 21 classics.
Wow.
One classic win, 1998. 17 wins overall. 80 top tens. You caught 8,785 pounds of bass. You won $2,579,393. And that comes out to $293 a pound.
Whoa. Okay. So every fish that you have caught,
every pound
of fish that you have caught in your Bassmaster career, that's what that Ryan had the numbers for, the stats, equates to $293 a pound?
Yes, sir.
Dude, that's insane, Denny.
That's big poundage.
Denny.
Expensive. Like sushi.
Yeah,
it is.
It is. That's high grade.
And furthermore, Denny, every tournament, every Bassmaster tournament you fished, you averaged $8,085 per tournament.
Wow.
And we got to go back, you know, to when the payouts were much lower, too. So these numbers are almost obsolete from the next two guys.
Wow. Okay.
But those are high for those years.
$8,000 a derb. $8,000 a derb, Mr. Brower.
Yes, sir.
Pretty good average. Pretty good average. Wouldn't you say, Christy?
That's a really good average. Like he said, I mean, you go back to the old school days, he probably made $20,000 of, you know.
Exactly.
Tournament.
Exactly.
Yep. Yes, sir.
Let's move on
to Hack.
Let's do it.
Greg, 186 derbies, 15 classics, 6 wins, 55 top tens.
Whoa.
6,814 pounds and $2,436,158. And that came out to $357 per pound.
$357.
Now, if you do the numbers on that, you can get the inflation.
Okay.
Out of that, from Denny to Hackney, because prize money is very close and way less tournaments. So
$357 a pound, Greg Hackney.
Yes, sir.
How much of that money was spent on red meat, would you think?
50%?
50%. I'll buy that. Okay.
And then per tournament, Greg, $13,097.
Whoa.
Per tournament.
$13,000, dude. That's a lot of Arby's, buddy. That's a lot of Big Montanas.
Yeah, that's.
Can you imagine missing one tournament? That's a bummer, man.
$13,000. Don't call off work. Don't call off work, Hackney. That's a good one. What's up with Christy? I see him smiling over there. I'll bet he's got some good numbers.
Yeah, yeah. So as we're going down in the amount of tournaments, obviously, because Jason Christy obviously went $2.5 billion at FLW, I think. Correct? And Hackney had like $2.2 billion at FLW. But so 80 derbies at Bassmaster for Christy, 7 classics, and you fished it for what, 8 years? Is that correct?
How many classics?
7.
7 years.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, buddy.
Solid.
Yeah, Hack. See that? How Christy did that?
So 5 wins makes that even more impressive.
Okay.
5 wins out of 7 years.
Out of 7 years.
24 top tens. 3,117 pounds. $1,149,650. And $368 per pound.
$368. Wow. Hey, Brower, you still think he's a coot?
No. No.
It's not a contest, but Christy would have won if it was.
Whoa.
Right there.
See that?
In the averages, but a lot less dirt. Yeah. Smaller sample size.
Dude.
But solid performance. And this number, $14,370 per tournament.
Whoa. Jason, that's not bad.
Yeah, man.
That's not bad.
So, like, the point of all that was, like, to first off let you guys know. Well, first off, Denny, you know this. Everybody likes to count Bass Pro's money all the time. You know, bass fishing professionals, everybody counts their money. You know that, Denny. Denny?
I know that.
All they do is fish and spend money.
But, I mean, that's a motivator. That is a motivator right there. There's no doubt about it. You guys, that's quite an impressive resume of figures right there. But, of course, bass fishing is not a cheap sport either, so that probably went right out the door anyway.
Gone.
It's just gone on to the next derb.
Well, you see all Denny's deer heads hanging in the back. Those deer are expensive.
Yeah.
I got to ask you guys, did you guys ever think about like what each pound of bass was worth to you? Does that ever enter your brain during your career?
Not for me.
No.
No?
Never thought about it till today.
It's probably a good thing, because if you lost a 4-pounder, you'd probably feel it a little worse.
Yeah. And if you get a hangnail or something and you can't set the hook, Hackney, then you got to call off work. You're going to miss like 13K.
14.
14K. You know? Can't have that happening. Can't have that stuff happening. Hey, Denny, I want to tell you personally from myself, and I will speak for the rest of the bass fishing galaxy. I want to thank you for the path that you have made and the inspiration that you have given us all as bass fishermen and fans of the sport. Thank you, Denny Brower.
That's it.
You're very kind.
Yes. Thank you, Denny Brower.
Thanks for making me want to flip, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's a mad consensus of anglers. Everyone that we have on this show lists you, Denny Brower, as a major influence. From Aaron Martins to Seth Fighter, they have all. I asked the question a lot when you were little. Who did you used to pretend to be as a bass fisherman? And that answer is either Denny Brower or Rick Klun from most anglers. And that's a big deal, Denny. I hope you know that.
I really appreciate hearing that. Thank you.
Yeah, man. You're very important to all of us. Jason Christy, I want to tell you, as a bass fishing fan of the sport, again, thank you for your inspiration. You have inspired so many of us to throw oversized blades. Okay. as simple as that may sound, especially here in the North, man, even in dirty water, a lot of people were afraid to do it, but you inspire us to do it. And Greg Hackney, are you there, Greg?
I'm here.
You were frozen for a minute. I thought he was in that thing there, but Hackney?
No, I was just being real still.
Okay. The liquor's kicking in, Christy.
The room is starting to spin.
Keep 1 foot down at all times, Greg. Yeah. 1 foot down.
1 leg off.
Dude, but thank you. Oh, and Denny Brower, thank you for teaching us that hook sets are free. Thank you for that. Oh, yeah. Because I've caught a lot of them when I didn't know they were there, if that makes sense. If that makes sense. Hackney, to you, thank you just for always inspiring us to be cool. And I mean that in the most sincerest way. Like, you are a cool dude to watch fish. As a bass fishing fan, we like your style, dude. We like to watch you jack the snot out of them. There ain't nothing.
Well, I appreciate that.
There's nothing like Greg Hackney crossing their eyes. Am I right, Christy? Am I right? It's pretty awesome.
You know, I guess
he's pretty serious when he sets a hook.
Yeah, man. I mean, thank you for that, Greg. That's a big deal, dude, to us bass fishing fans. Thanks for teaching us to flip with oversized sticks and not be scared of it. You know what I mean?
Size matters.
Hey, I gotta share one thing I noticed about all three of these.
What
guys,
is it?
Right, over watching you guys for years and years, you guys, a lot of guys when they set the hook on camera when they're flipping,
yeah,
they get this surprised look on their face, like, oh my god, it's there, you know,
or
it's big or whatever. But all three of you guys set the hook and you have the most confident look on your face after connecting with that fish. And that's just something I noticed watching clips of you guys all week and for the last, like, 20 years. But hey, you guys knew it was a big one.
They own them.
Before you even made the flip.
They own them.
Yeah.
They own them. Hey, guys, thank you. Jason, Greg, Denny, thank you so much, guys. We appreciate
this. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
We hope you had fun. It's a little different thing, and Hackney, you were a little out of line tonight. I just want to let you know. Denny, we'll talk about him later.
Exactly.
Yeah. We'll figure out what we're going to do with him later, Denny, and we'll figure the right punishment for him.
You know, it wasn't quite as weird as I was expecting. So, I mean, it wasn't bad.
Hang around and get weird after hours.
Well, I mean, I'll be honest with you. It's like there's so much more to go to that we could go into. Hey, what the heck? Let's go another 3 hours. What do you think, Brower?
I don't know. We're already past my bedtime.
I knew that was coming.
Jason, Greg, Denny, thanks so much, guys.
Yeah, thank
appreciate
you
it. Keep inspiring, please. You do.
We'll see y'all.
Thank you. Peace. That was fun. All right. Shallow water guys.
Awesome.
At the cusp of their career. Whatever that means.
Right at the cusp.
Yeah. Hey, so I think now is the time for us to give stuff. Oh, no. We got to open up. Let's open up a box, bro. Let us. Andy, you want to take a break or what are we doing?
No,
we're just bringing. We going right into the Scoopaka Kumbaya?
You need a knife? Oh, no.
I have a gangster switchblade here. Chicago gangster switchblade. Right, yeah. And I'm opening up this MTB. This is the November. The No Shave November edition of the No Shave November. Sorry, I was backing off of there.
Got some hairy hogs in there?
I don't know. This is the No Shave November edition of Mystery Tackle Boxes. These go to 11. Okay, the first deal here is the Big Bite Bait Pro Swimmer. The Pro Swimmer. That's kind of like a Rage Swimmer or Kitexual Seduction or the Berkeley Swimmer, the same kind of deal that's become oh so popular.
Who doesn't like a swimmer?
Who doesn't like a swimmer? You know, he's a swimmer, Matt Robertson. He's a swimmer.
Yeah, he is a swimmer.
He swimmers often. And that's the first thing that I picked out of here. And I'm going to be honest with you. My favorite thing to do with a Kitech-type bait is to bite the head off and fish it as a spinnerbait trailer. Boom! 100%. Catch more fish on them than I do. But I just don't throw that type of deal as much. But you know what? There it is. That's perfect. And this is going in my satchel for spinnerbait trailers.
Satchel
and
page.
Someone will be sent this in the other mystery tackle box. I'm going to pass this over to JP High, the hip-hop fisherman. I need you to take out a random mystery tackle box item. JP High, tell us what you think. JP, you have a chamois on your face. JP High is a hip-hop fisherman. He's from Chicago, Illinois. He's wearing a chamois on his face, and he's doing a mystery tackle box opening. I'm doing play-by-play because there's not a camera on JP. JP, what do you got?
I got a cross-eyed jig. Power Vanessa jig.
Who makes that?
Z-Man.
Z-Man.
It's the David Walker.
David Walker. Oh, he was on that Good Times show, David Walker. Yeah. Yes.
Dynamite.
David Boom Boom Walker. Dynamite.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's a quarter-ounce finesse jig with a mustad hook.
Okay. Yeah. You like that, JP.
It's pretty familiar.
You
like everything about that.
Are you like that? What, does it look like a tightrope jig? Are you trying to say that they copied off a tightrope jig?
No.
Okay.
But I like it.
JP likes it.
Right. I like jigs. Denny Brower likes jigs. Greg Hackney likes jigs.
Jason Christie likes jigs. And JP High. Keep that item there and pass on the box to Andrew Ellenberger, the redheaded producer, engineer, extraordinaire guy.
He just wants the stickers.
He just wants the sticker. He claims the stickers in the MTBs every month. By the way, MTB, $19.99 a month. Where do you get them, Ryan?
You didn't grab the crankbait?
Carl's.
Yeah, why not? Hey, I know. I just opened it right now, Ginge. What do you got in there?
Oh,
I feel very 80s sitcom.
Yeah.
I'm walking on air. I never thought I could be this free.
Look at there.
What do you got, Ginge? A crank?
Yeah, it's a CD Silent.
Woo!
Like a little 3XD looking.
3D Silent, 3D XD, crank in a sexy Tennessee shag color for everyone in the mystery tackle box. Yeah.
The overlooked. Of the crankbaits, right?
Give me
the
some more of that awesome music, James.
Yeah, I like that.
I was really
too.
Into that.
I was walking on air.
Ladies and gentlemen, and here is the final guy of the evening with a mystery tackle box item. Available for $19.99 from Carl's.
An original Big O.
It's an original. What?
Oh, no.
No, you.
Sorry.
You old sailor, you. Give me that box. Wait, I got another one right here. Ryan, what do you got? I got a switchblade and a tin cup whiskey thing.
I got a headbanger shad.
Hey. I was in a band called that.
Dancing Eel.
College.
This
had an opening song and went, yeah!
The packaging is insane, man. Like, if they put a price tag of, like, $1,000, I'd almost believe it based on the
packaging. You know what costs $1,000? Denny Brower's Wheatie Box full of Wheaties.
But it seems like kind of a hard bait, chatterbait kind of deal. Crankbait, chatterbait deal.
A hybrid.
It's a hybrid.
So it's kind of like a striped bass.
But it's got a soft tail.
Oh,
yeah. So it's like a
Jason Christie soft
like
stick.
Else I've seen really.
Gotcha.
But the packaging,
Andy. More music. Got it. It's amazing. I can't not have that. It's the best ever.
I love it.
Yes, I'm running in place right now. Ryan has leggings on.
I do have leggings.
It's pretty awesome.
Jegging.
JP has a chamois.
There's a Carl's catalog in here too.
Look at Carl right there. Yeah, he looks like a fat Hasselhoff. Doesn't he?
He does the bait tasting.
Yeah, Carl looks like a fat Hasselhoff in that picture. I like it.
Fattelhoff.
Fattelhoff. Hey, that's a mystery tackle box. It's available to you.
This has been
Bass Fishing Galaxy. This has been the November opening of Mystery Tackle Box on Straycast, the glorified version of a bass fishing talk show. At this time,
we are now about to announce the prize winners for tonight's show.
It is ready. Are you ready?
Do it.
Here's the winners for tonight. I don't know the winners. Do you know the winners?
No.
I just host this thing. You guys do winner stuff. Do we have winners? Did anybody text?
I don't know no winners.
Jay?
Randomize things. Bum, 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 bum. I don't even care.
Can you talk for a minute? I was not ready for this.
Oh, no. I can't talk. I don't even know how to talk. Talk about what?
What do you talk about?
Let. Give me some more music. Gentiles. Once upon a time in the bass fishing world, there was three surfer guys who like to catch shallow water fish on surfboards. And then they turned the surfboards into kayaks, started a kayak league. And then kayaks became the new surfboards of bassin'. But I don't have a kayak, cause I think surfing's cooler. But some people still kayak, and you can go in kayak and catch bass on your kayaks. It's okay with me. Next week we got a kayak babe on. Her name is Christine Fisher. She catches them in kayaks, and so we'll find out more. It's my kayak surfboard.
That was really
song.
Good.
Thanks.
Hey, do you think there'll ever be a band called the Kayak Boys?
The Kayak Boys? Kayaks
I
back.
Think you just started.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I was thinking like Beach Boys.
Do we got a freaking prize winners or what? We need two
What's
of them.
What's his name? What's her name?
Yeah. Who won things? Greg Hackney, you won the Mystery Tackle Box. And Denny Brower, you won something else. That reminds me of the opening chord of Mama Kin. I believe that is it, Ginge. That's the opening chord. How can I get a witness, Bass Fishing Galaxy? I need you to step right up and step right down, because you gotta get up to get down. And right now, we are about to give away the most amazing, most jubilant prize ever in the Bass Fishing Galaxy. It's a mystery tackle box, along with
$50 worth of War Eagle spinnerbaits. Here it is.
You guys didn't randomize yet all show. Like, what like I was talking in an entire show. We didn't have a winner. It's fun to me. It's fun to me. I like it.
Well,
I want to get instruments and play them.
Again.
I want to get instruments
what
and play instruments. I like the kayak song.
Yeah.
I mean, the kayak.
I do.
I like kayak surfing. In fact, I might just start. You know, they do that on surfboards. I used to suck at surfing, by the way.
They do surf on kayaks, too.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
They do that. But, like, yeah. Jan and Dean never wrote a song about kayaks, and neither did the Beach Boys.
Neither did Frankie Avalon
yeah.
or Annette Funicello.
Yeah. yeah. Annette Fuller what?
Funicello?
Hey, now.
Yeah.
Hey, do you guys want me to play Randomizer? Like, do I got to do this?
Do you know that song, Randomizer?
If you could do it, that'd be
Do
great.
You know Radio Goo Goo, Radio Gaga?
Yeah.
Andy,
yeah.
What's going
live
on
here?
We'll text you if you want.
Did I win? Can I go home now? Oh, I am home.
I want to go.
Yeah, my computer has crashed.
Oh, no. Well, why didn't you just say that?
I'm trying to do it on my phone.
Why are you standing on your head?
We'll text you if you want.
Yeah, JP, yes, if you
sorry.
Win, we'll tell you things.
No problem.
No, we got to do a winner. I'm not leaving until we get a winner. We got to get a winner. Why can't we? That's not fair to the viewers. We can't leave.
No.
Guys, I can go. Can you guys handle the rest of the show?
I have the microphone.
If we leave, then they
but don't we, win. But
most
that's a third word I made up.
Yeah.
We got to get a winner before we go because it's not fair to the Bass Fishing Galaxy. In fact, there's two winners tonight.
They all left.
Huh? Oh, it's gone?
They're not all gone. All the players are there. Hey, Andy, tell me about the last bass you caught.
Sunday.
Really?
Yeah.
Where?
Lake Jorge.
Is it on half a spot?
No.
Well, what are you doing?
Andy, play that Mighty Mouse music.
Get it
again.
Up there.
Andy, play that Mighty Mouse music. It was like 20s.
I can't. It was on a secret rock pile.
Oh, that was your secret rock pile that you put out on Lake George on the town side.
Did it have COVID?
Yes.
It did not. It was nice
Thank
and
goodness.
Did it have a mask?
She was nice and fat.
Okay, here's some straight cast trivia.
Okay.
What is the percentage down of bites that Aaron Martins is getting this year? What is his percentage down?
He said he was 80% down.
80% right? down. That is correct. Very observant,
wow.
Ryan Whitaker. Very observant.
Okay, he's one for one.
JP, you are looking more like...
All right, let's do a winner.
JP, hey. You look like Chance the Rapper. No, not Chance the Rapper. What's that guy's name?
Not a chance a rapper.
Not a chance the rapper.
Well, the winner of the War Eagle Prize. His name is David J.D. Hall. David, if you're watching.
David Hall.
Message Stray Cast. Attention, Jake. I won the War Eagles.
Oh, and Jake texted me something, too. Did you see this, too? Are you getting the same text?
No.
So That's a black screen.
Huh? So, oh, okay. Well, let's give away more prizes. I don't care. Let's give away everything.
We got an MTV.
So who did
right?
you? Yeah. So wait, let me read this. What are you? Who breathed? Who is that, Andy? Were you breathing heavy sighs? Andy, are you heavy sighing?
Yes.
Is that you heavy sighing? All right. So I have. So let's see. This just in: the first winner's name was David Hall. David Hall. Okay. He is from Venezuela. David Hall from Venezuela. Now, here is another winner. I have another winner. Would you like me to do it, or do you want to do it?
Yes, go ahead.
I was texted this by Jay Kaz in New Jersey. So apparently he randomized.
He's got a name.
So I have two names that he randomized, and to be fair, just because I'm cool like that, giving away three prizes tonight. You heard it, three prizes. Thanks for sticking around. The third prize is another mystery tackle box.
Two boxes.
Travis Gasper. Travis Gasper, you are the winner of another mystery tackle box. So David and Travis, you won mystery tackle boxes. And the final winner for the $50 worth of War Eagle spinnerbaits or War Eagle products is Randy Shomo. Yeah, Randy Shomo Bass. And I know Randy. True story that I did not just make up. I used to work at a bait store with Randy when I was a child. Yeah, Randy
was. He taught you everything you know.
He did teach me everything you know, and Randy was a punk back then, and I thought he was awesome. He was kind of like, he was kind of like, remember Kelly?
Like punk rocker?
Yeah. Remember Kelly in the Bad News Bears?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was Randy.
Kelly Lee.
Yeah, that was Randy. Yeah. That was Randy.
Oh, awesome.
Pretty
Dirt
cool.
Bike.
Hey, Bass Fishing Galaxy.
I thank you for climbing aboard this thin raft that we call Bassin. Proper Bassin is not just a word. It's a way of life, and we expect you to live that way of life. My name is Pat Renwick. J.P. Hyatt has a chamois on. Andrew Ellenberger kicks ass at getting this thing on the air. And Ryan Whitaker, he's the meanest guy in the parking lot. Don't you mess with him. He's got three mystery tackle boxes lined up. He's a badass fisherman. Ryan, are you a guide now?
Yeah.
How did they get hold of you?
Freedom Boat Club, or just call me.
Freedom Boat Club or Chicago. Direct message Ryan Whitaker on any form of social media. Ryan will put you in them. Not just on them. He'll put you in them.
He'll put you inside.
He'll put you in them. Hey, Bass Galaxy, I am Pat Renwick. I thank you so much. I thank you, all our sponsors that make this possible, especially Crestliner and Carl's. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Power Pole Teach Marine, of course, too, as well, and the rest of our fine sponsors. But we'll be back here next week. Pat Walters, Christine Fisher, and Luke Foley from Tin Cup Whiskey, as well as probably a few other guests. I hope you catch fish until then, and stay warm. Peace. November 18th, 7 p.m. Central. See you then.
Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Dance.
No, just kidding. This is Pat. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Straycast on iTunes and leave a review. Tell us what you think. Any feedback is greatly appreciated. Thanks for listening.
Peace!